Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Battlefield of the Mind. Everything that you say and do begins with the thoughts in your mind. Right now, as you are listening, you are thinking about something. Maybe it's about work or family. Maybe it's the ever-looming question of the future. As you think to yourself, where else do your thoughts go? Do you fear, get angry, feel depressed, or worry about failure? These are all tactics that Satan uses to distract your mind from the peace and courage that God can provide. Stay tuned as Joyce discusses the battles that you face in your mind and how God can help you have victory over these and other attacks. Now, here's Joyce with today's series, Battlefield of the Mind.
The first thing that I located that I felt like was a problem for the Israelites that contributed to them taking so long to get to victory, and also why many of them never made it to victory at all. And do you know, sadly, there are many people who do believe in Jesus and will go to heaven, but will never, ever, ever enjoy victory here in the earth. Do you know that? You don't have to have victory to go to heaven. You're saved by the blood of Christ. But to enjoy your journey, you need victory. And I think to be a proper witness to anybody else, they need to see it working in your life. Amen. So the first thing that I saw that they did was they did not have a positive vision for the future. They were always talking about the past. They thought their past dictated their future. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what has happened to you in the past, no matter what is going on in your life right now, it has no power to keep you from having an amazingly awesome future if you will learn to see in the Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah 11 that Jesus did not see and decide things by the hearing of his ears and the sight of his eyes. He saw with spiritual eyes and he listened with spiritual ears. And we all have ears on our head and eyes in our head, but we also have spiritual ears and eyes. With our natural eyes, we see what's going on around us. We see what's happened in our life. But with our spiritual eyes, we see what we can't see with these eyes. We look with an attitude of faith and we say, God says I can have a good future and I believe that I can have a good future. Recently, I was in a Starbucks in someplace in Utah and a woman recognized me and began to talk to me a little bit. And she said, I wrote your ministry and told you all about my problems and so on and so forth. And she began to tell me all about her problems. She said, yes, I'll tell you, she said, in my life, I have been thrown under the bus. And of course, I didn't say this to her because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. But when I left, I thought, well, lady, I've been thrown under the bus too, but now I'm driving it. Amen. Well, she just stopped and I've been thrown under the bus. And I can tell you, she will be sitting somewhere telling somebody the same sad story a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, only her story will get more and more bitter and will sound worse and worse because she had no hope for change in her life. And I tried to tell her a little bit, well, God can change things. You need to trust God. You need to believe in God. And all I got back every time was some kind of a wall or some kind of an excuse. Her case was a special case. It wasn't like any other case. There was nobody that had it as bad as her. She got thrown under the bus, and all four wheels were sitting on her, and she did not have any intention of getting out from under the bus. Well, I decided to drive the stupid bus. And you can do the same thing. But let me tell you something. This is not something that somebody else can decide for you. This is something you have to make your mind up to. I'd like us to look as an example at Genesis chapter 13. We see a man there, Abraham, who lost everything, and yet he ended up with more than he lost. Do you know that in God's economy, you can lose every single thing that you have, and if you learn to see with the eye of faith, you can end up with more than you gave up. Job lost everything. had such terrible troubles, and in the end, God gave him twice as much as what he had lost. Abraham had blessed his nephew Lot by sharing what he had with him, and then they both became so prosperous, they had so many cattle and so many employees that they weren't getting along together. The employees weren't. And so Abraham went to Lot, took the initiative, wanted to be a peacemaker, and he said, I beg of you, let there be no strife between us. You decide which part of the land that you want, and I'll take what you don't take. Now, I think that's a pretty amazing, humble attitude right there, because I would have said, I'm going to take what I want first, and you can have what was left, because you wouldn't have had anything if I wouldn't have given it to you. But Abraham was obviously a godly man, probably one of the reasons why God was able to make a covenant with him and use him the way that he did. So sure enough, if you read chapter 13, Lot chose the best portion of the Jordan Valley for himself, and Abraham had to take the leftovers. So he wasn't in very good shape. But in verse 14, it says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had left him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for the land which you see I will give to you and to your posterity. And in verse 17 it says, arise and walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. So he's saying two things here, both are equally important. First he said, look, north, south, east, and west, and everything you can see, I will give it to you. Now, he was obviously telling him to look with his natural eyes, but I believe that God wants to say to you tonight, look into the future, and what do you see by faith for your life? Can you see yourself being out of debt? Can you see yourself owning your own home? Can you see yourself with a new car? Can you see yourself with a better job? Can you see yourself being a blessing to many, many, many people? Can you see yourself living your dream, whatever that dream might be? As long as it's God's dream too, you can live that dream. Can you see it? If you cannot see it, you will never have it. Then he said to him, and whatever you see, I will give it to you. Now you go and walk it out. You go take it. That means you got to take some action. I had a dream, a God-given dream to preach the gospel. It was something God birthed in my heart the first time that I heard a teaching cassette tape back in 1976. I just was so amazed that somebody could take one scripture out of the book of Mark and preach for almost a whole hour on it and keep your attention. And just this burning desire came in me to preach the gospel all over the world, which was very stupid considering where I was at the time. So it had to be God. I mean, I was not, let's just say I was your least likely candidate to be doing that. So God will put things in your heart that do not make any sense to your mind. That's why you cannot live out of your unrenewed mind. You have to live in the mind of the Spirit. God will show you things that are possibilities for you. But you, when you read the word, you have to take it that it's for you. Not just that it's for this special group of some special people, but every promise in the word is for you. They're all for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to promote you. God wants to raise you up. God wants to use you. God wants to heal you. Amen. But you have to see that. And you can't wait to see it with these eyes before you believe it. You have to see it with your spiritual eyes, and then eventually you'll see it with these eyes. I live in Missouri, which is called the Show Me State. Well, in God's economy, you have to believe it first, see it with the eye of faith, and then eventually you'll see it in the Spirit. But also, even though by faith, I claimed what I believed that God had spoken to me and given me. I claim the promises as mine, I still had to go in and possess that land. Now, the word possess is an interesting word because if you study it, it means to dispossess the current occupants and then take the land. So there were enemies in the promised land, and they didn't want to deal with the enemies. So they would not go in. They just kept wandering around and around, waiting for God to do something about the enemies before they would go in and take what God told them to take. Now, here's an interesting point. Actually, in 2 years, they made it to the border of the promised land. And if I took you to Deuteronomy chapter 1, which I think I will right now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 for a second. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 20. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Ammonites, which the Lord your God gives us. This is Moses saying this. Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. And the Lord, the God of your fathers, has said to you, fear not, neither be dismayed. Then you all came near to me and said, let us send men before us that they may search out the land, that they may bring us word again by which way we should go up and into what cities we shall come. And the thing pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, and I sent you in. These are what we call the 12 spies who went in to check out the promised land. And sure enough, verse 25 says, they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord your God gives us. Watch verse 26. Yet you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. Now, I don't have time to go through all this, but later they decided, well, now we will go up. And God said, no, don't try to go in now because now I'm not with you. You should have went when I told you to. And so then they were on the border of the promised land when God told them, now's the time to go in and possess the land. They would not go in. They rebelled against the Lord, and they wandered around for another 38 years out in the wilderness, and many of them died out there. Now, I want to teach you a little lesson tonight. When God tells you it's time to deal with something, when God tells you it's time to deal with something, then there's an anointing on it to deal with it then. And you can't put it off till a more convenient time, or a time when you think it's going to be easier, or a time when you feel like you're ready, because then you may decide, well, you know, I'm really tired of putting up with this. I think I'll deal with it now. Well, you might find that God's not got that anointing on you at that time. We have to learn when God touches things in our life that we need to take it seriously. If you know God's dealing with you about a bad attitude, then deal with it. If you know God's dealing with you about unforgiveness in your heart, then deal with it. Don't make some silly excuse about how hard it is to forgive people. I'll tell you what's hard, hating people. That is much harder than forgiving people.
Thanks for listening. Start to see victory over your thoughts with today's offer, Battlefield of the Mind Action Plan. The action plan includes CDs, DVDs, and a personal study guide, or you can download it for a donation of $35 or more in U.S. funds, and we do accept all major credit cards. You can order today's offer from our website at joycemeyer.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-789-0089. Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089.
Make plans now to spend your Friday and Saturday with Joyce. Inspiring teaching, heartfelt worship, and encouraging behind-the-scenes moments at the Joyce Meyer Conference.
If you want to get happy, get yourself off your mind.
Coming to St. Paul, Minnesota, August 24th and 25th at the Excel Energy Center. For more information and a complete conference schedule, visit joycemeyer.org/conference or call 1-866-C-JOYCE.
Thanks again for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Our mission here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: sharing Christ and loving people. Remember, together we can do more.